So this second presentation will be focused on regulation on pesticide residues currently applicable in Europe. This regulation was adopted in 2005, so already 4 years ago, but actually was implemented only last year, so it became applicable on the 1st of September 2008, and it replaces and it repeals four previous directives in Europe. So that regulated only specific crops and specific commodities. So there was already a legislation on pesticide Europe, on pesticide residues in Europe before the 1st of September 2008, but it was not fully harmonized. What does it mean? It means that there was a limited... I move to this slide. There was a limited number of pesticides regulated by the EU. There were 250 pesticides or so, for which we set since 1986 EU MRLs. But for the majority of the remaining pesticides, either on the market in Europe or that could be used in other countries, there were no EU MRLs. So the responsibility for setting MRLs was at member state level. So there were national MRLs in the old legislative framework for about 850 pesticides. In the new system, we have fully harmonized the MRLs because actually the food can circulate freely on the EU market. So consumers in Europe are exposed to the same level of pesticide residues if they live in Sweden or in Greece or in Spain. So we realized that to ensure a harmonized level of consumer protection in Europe, we had to set only EU MRLs. So in the new system, member states are not allowed to set national MRLs. MRLs are only set at EU level. And this is a big simplification also for trade. So we do not only protect better our EU consumers, and this is our mission, but this is also a big simplification for trade because third countries do not have to deal with 27 different lists of MRLs. They have only one list, which, by the way, is also available on the internet with a database. So in the new system, in the new regulation 396/2005, we have set specific UMRLs in the annexes of this regulation for 530 pesticides or so. But what about all the remaining active substances that could be used? Is there an MRL? Well, although an MRL is not specifically published in the annexes 2 and 3, a default MRL of 0.01 milligram per kilogram would applies to all the other pesticides not specifically mentioned in the annexes of this regulation. We have only an exception. An exception, or two exceptions actually, for feed and fish, which are currently not yet covered by this regulation. We are in the process of including them in this EU legislation. So for the time being, both fish and feed items exclusively to be used only for feed, are covered by the national legislation. So this is the only area not yet fully harmonized at EU level. So just with two figures, this harmonization exercise has actually brought a simplification in the system, because We started collecting already after 2005 all national MRLs in Europe. So we collected 500,000 MRLs in the member states. And after the harmonization process, now we are defined in our list of the regulation 100,000 EU harmonized MRLs after the harmonization process. So this has been an effort of harmonization, of simplification, that has involved all actors, again, the member states, the European Food Safety Authority, and the Commission. So the implementation of this regulation started in 2006 with the publication of the first annex, Annex 1. Annex 1 is the list of commodities, all commodities to which maximum residue levels apply. It does not list any MRLs. It's just a list of crops and animal products, and is Regulation 178 of 2006. But if you look, if you want to look for the MRLs and the rules, then you have to consult the annexes 2, 3, and 4. So annexes 2 and 3 are the list of, contain the list of MRLs. Annex 4 contains substances for which no MRLs are required, so MRLs exemptions. And we published them for the first time in March last year. There was an update in end of August. And since then, there was no new update to those annexes. And finally, we have an Annex 7 on fumigants, but this is only applicable in Europe, so I will not cover this by my presentation. There are two annexes still left, Annex 5 and Annex 6, not yet developed. Annex 5 would contain the list of pesticides to which a default MRL other than 0.01 milligram per kilogram applies. There is no such list yet. And Annex 6, and this is a very important part that we still have to implement, will contain the list of processing factors, harmonized processing factors in Europe for processed commodities. So the Annex 1 list of commodities has 315 entries divided in 10 main groups. What is important to understand is also that with this new regulation, we have not only harmonized all those pesticides not covered by the previous directives, but also introduced new crops, new food items to the list of EU MRLs. For example, in this new regulation, we have introduced many, many minor crops not previously covered by the legislation, but also other crops, other food items that are important in our diet, like cocoa, coffee, sugar plants. Those were not covered by the old directives. It means that in the past we never set EU MRLs for cocoa, coffee beans, and sugar plants. So we had to set those MRLs for the first time now. And again, as I said, fish and plants used in animal feed are listed, but for the time being are not covered, so you have to refer to the national legislation for them. So these are the 10 groups currently covered, and the last two are just listed, but no MRLs are set. To give you an overview of the harmonization exercise, it's very difficult to explain to those that are not involved and were not involved with the preparation of our legislation the criterion to create the annexes, because we have several annexes, but there is a legal reason. I will show you this with pictures, actually. So in the old, we can distinguish. First of all, you should make a separation between old crops, so crops covered by the old directives, and new crops. So crops that have been introduced only now, like, as I said, coffee, cocoa, and so on. And another on the right-hand side of the slide, you will see also that we had in the past pesticide MRLs covered by the old directives. There were about 250. And we had a number of pesticides previously not covered by the old directives and that now we have introduced in the annexes. So the combination of old crops, new crops, old pesticides and new pesticides are the result of our annexes. In particular, Annex 2 is the compilation of the old existing MRLs in the old directives. Because list the combination, MRLs combination for old crops and old pesticides already covered. So there is nothing new in Annex 1. It is just a consolidation of the existing legislation, which is now much easier to be consulted. And we cover about 45,000 pesticide MRLs in this Annex 2. I can skip this. Annex 3 is basically the result of the harmonization exercise. So for the first time, we have collected all national MRLs applicable in the member states, and we have selected only one MRL for each combination pesticide crop. And to do so, we had to distinguish. So we had to create a Part A, which concerns the new pesticides, so pesticides previously not covered by the EU legislation, and old crops in Annex 1, so old crops and new crops. This is Part A of Annex 3, and MRLs listed in Annex 3 are called temporary MRLs because they will be subject to review. They will be subject to review after the first harmonization exercise. But from a legal point of view, there is no difference between the MRLs listed in Annex 2 and the MRLs listed in Annex 3. So they have both the same legal value. And then we have another combination left. This is Annex 3 Part B, because remember that we have introduced new crops in the new legislation, and we still need to make the combination between those new crops and the old pesticides already covered by the old legislation. So to do so, we had to collect the MRLs for the new crops set at national level, because there were no EU MRLs, and again, put them in the Annex 3. So we cover with this Annex about 30,000 MRLs. So the combination, as you can see, of Annex 3 Part A and Annex 3 Part B gives you the figure that I showed to you at the beginning of the presentation. So now we have the result of the harmonization exercise is 100,000 MRLs. Which process did we follow to come to this result? We had to create first a database of national MRLs, and this database was by the way also put on our website, uploaded on the SANCO website, and I've heard that some of you or some of my colleagues had problems because it was a huge database in Excel with heavy Excel sheets, so it was not easy to handle that. But now we have a better one. So we had to ask the EFSA to look at those national MRLs because they had never been evaluated at EU level for all EU consumers. So each member state had done a national evaluation for their consumers. And what is important also to say that whenever there were different MRLs for the same combination pesticide crop in various member states, we took the highest one corresponding to the critical gap, the critical good agricultural practice in Europe, on the condition that it was safe for the consumer. So this, the European Food Safety Authority was called to make an evaluation. They made a first screening, a first risk assessment, which was then refined with the help of supporting and background data we could find in the member states' databases. And we finally could reach an agreement on those values by the end of 2010, and they were published in 2008. So it was a it is a process that lasted actually 3 years, and this should not surprise you, because we had to collect so many data at member state level. The EFSA had to set up a model, a EU model that Hermine Reich will present you, to evaluate the impact of those pesticide residues on the EU consumer. So it took time, but now we have reached our objective. So the Annex 4 is completely new. It did not exist before. It lists a number of of chemicals and microorganisms like plant extracts and fatty acids, low-risk substances for which no MRLs are needed. So whenever a substance is listed in Annex 4, no MRLs will be set in Annexes 2 and 3. And what about all the other pesticides not covered by Annexes 2, 3, not even listed in Annex 4? For those pesticides, a default maximum residue level of 0.01 milligram per kilogram applies. And this is important to understand, because also in the database, in our database, we only list the active substances included in the annexes. So if you don't find an active substance in the database, it does not mean that there is no MRL. It means that the default value of 0.01 applies. So in practice, in the new system, what has changed? Now we have, and this is a very important change in the new regulation, the European Food Safety Authority has a key role to evaluate each new request of MRLs and to advise the European Commission on the need to reduce MRLs whenever there is an unacceptable exposure to EU consumers. We have also another important change in the new procedure. This is more for us than for you, but now the member states have no possibility to grant national MRLs. So whenever they want to grant an authorization on a plant protection product, which would then trigger a new MRL, because there is no MRL on that crop, they need to wait for the setting of a new MRL. So this is a precondition. The setting of new MRLs in the new system is a precondition for national authorizations. We have also established a new MRL procedure, which is to streamline the process and to make sure, in view of the fact that EU MRL setting is a precondition for national authorization, to make sure that we are able to set an MRL in a time frame of 12 months. So this is a challenge. So 12 months, as the regulation came into force or became applicable on the 1st of September 2008, we don't know whether we will be able to comply with this deadline, because the first 12 months will expire on the 1st of September 2009. But we are putting in place, we are trying to do our best to comply with this deadline, to give the member states the possibility to grant authorizations as soon as possible. We have also introduced a public database on new MRLs, which is accessible and it's free. And we have also new provisions for the monitoring of pesticide residues in Europe. But I will not be able to show you in detail what these provisions are. So the MRL setting procedure, as I said, will allow us to set an MRL within 12 months, 1 year. But within those 12 months, we need to go through many steps. So it is really a challenge, because we need to evaluate an application for an MRL, and again, this is done both by a member state and then peer-reviewed by EFSA. we need to propose, to put forward a proposal to our regulatory committee. We need to consult other two European institutions, the Parliament and the Council, and this right of scrutiny lasts 2 months. Of course, we need also to consult third countries through an SPS notification. So it's very tight. So I really hope that we will make it. And to finish, I would like to spend 2 words on the database on UMRLs. So this, actually it was the previous one, because as you saw, now we have a new homepage. You can consult active substances and MRLs. But if you look at the MRLs, so the search can be made by pesticide. So you can select a pesticide by scrolling down in the list, or you can enter your word or part of the name of the pesticide. You can select the commodity of interest or all commodities, and the result of your search will be something like this. So this is an example on dithiocarbamates. As the list of commodities is very long, so there are many pages, so there will be 10 pages for each substance, for each pesticide. But what is interesting, I think, for you to know is that you can export this information to Excel. So it becomes much more user-friendly. And this is the result of the search whenever you look for the existing MRLs. So you search for current MRLs. So the bottom, this one. But you can also search for the evolution of MRLs. So you can ask the system, display MRLs evolution. And then you will get two or more columns on, depending on the evolution of the legislation. And the changes in the various combinations will be highlighted in bold. So you will see in bold whether the MRL for apple has changed from 1 to 2 or has from 1 to 001 in the worst case. So another possibility of searching is by product, by commodity. So if you are interested in one commodity, this is an example on apples, then the system will give you the whole list of pesticides in alphabetical order with the relevant MRLs for that commodity. Again, you can export the information to Excel, but important, again, to underline is that if you do not find a pesticide in this list, please remember that the default limit of 0.01 applies. And what is still to be implemented? So now the next steps of the implementation process will be actually routine MRL setting. But we still need to complete the list of commodities, so include fish and feed, and set UMRLs for those commodities. We need to draw up the list of processing factors, because this is still a weak point in our legislation, as for processed commodities, member states have the freedom to apply different processing factors at enforcement level. We have a review ongoing done by EFSA on the very old MRLs that existing in the previous directives. And this review is ongoing and will possibly lead to a reduction of a number of MRLs, if there is any concern for EU consumers. But don't worry, this will be always notified through SPS. And the EFSA, the European Food Safety Authority, is working on a methodology to allow us to carry out a consumer risk assessment. And this is a big concern in Europe, because more and more we find multiple residues in food items. So the latest report and survey indicated that on a sample, I think, of peppers, you can find up to 28 different active substances. So consumers are very much concerned. We don't have a methodology to carry out on a routine basis a cumulative risk assessment, so this is something to be done in future. And we are also concerned because we have faced problems with the short-term risk assessment, as now it was explained in the first presentation. We use the highest residue in the short-term risk assessment, but this is difficult to communicate because at monitoring level, at enforcement level, DMRL is used to carry out a risk assessment. So it is sometimes an exceedance of the acute reference dose is observed at monitoring level, and the same exceedance was for a legal limit for an MRL, and the same exceedance was not observed at risk assessment level. So we need to improve our communication, and we are thinking of a modification of the IST equation and to a replacement of DHR. So use the MRL instead of DHR. You will find all our documents, supporting documents and guidelines on the internet. So here you find a number of internet links. And this is our fact sheet on pesticide residues that you can download from the DG SANCO website. And with this, I thank you very much for your attention.